The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. It's Donald Kavanagh with you on the programme on till 12 noon today. Now, it's a Thursday, as we say, but we don't have a 9 till noon show tomorrow. So we had our Friday panel 24 hours early in the first hour. So what I'm going to do now is just give a very quick run through the main headlines on the papers, because we won't have a chance, obviously, to do them at another point. So the Donegal News this morning: mother calls for a memorial on site of tragedy. The mother of Leona Harper, one of the 10 people killed in the Creasley disaster, says she's horrified to learn of plans to rebuild commercial units on the site of the explosion in Creasley in October of 2022. Donegal Democrat, the main story: Rafo woman and two daughters killed in Mayo crash, a story you'll have heard on the news, obviously. Also making a stand, 1,200 attend defective blocks meeting. A picture from that meeting on the front of the Tyrconnell Tribune showing the extent of the crowd, and the main headline: ringing endorsement for People's Document. Derry News this morning, and the main story: questions raised whether new McGee task force can deliver. Newly established task force aiming to increase McGee student numbers, but a campaign group, the Derry University group, is questioning whether or not the task force will be efficacious. Irish Independent this morning: a string of tech firms snub Foley meeting on child online safety. Several social media and tech companies snubbed a meeting with the Education Minister at a meeting last month about keeping children safe online. And a heartbreaking photograph that's on several papers this morning: mother and daughters killed in horrific Mayo crash had been visiting relatives. A mother and her children who died in a road traffic tragedy in County Mayo had been returning home from visiting family in Donegal. Una Carlin Bowden, 47, and her daughters Kira, 14, and Saoirse, 9, were killed instantly when their vehicle collided with a fuel lorry on the N17 near Clare Morris. The same photograph on the front of the Irish Times, main photograph there. And the main story is: motorists set to face congestion or clean air zone charges. And then the other main headline: mother and two daughters in fatal Mayo crash named. The Irish Daily Mail, again, the same photo on the front with: father makes 10,000 kilometre journey home after death of his wife and daughters. And the main story: higher taxes for bigger cars. Eamon Ryan reveals 35 proposals to cut use of vehicles, such as reducing insurance premiums for people who drive less. The Red Tops, Irish Daily Star this morning: mums to angels, the same photograph. And Irish thug fights for Putin mug: a far-right English thug holding an Irish tricolour is fighting for Russia in Ukraine. And Irish Daily Mirror, again, N17 crash horror: loving smiles together forever. The same picture of Una and her two daughters. And the Irish Sun this morning's: dad's crash agony as family all killed. The Irish Farmers Journal main story is: weather grinds turnout and fieldwork to a halt. And also a really nice shot of a tractor caught in very heavy rain in Rathmore, Stradbally County, Leash, as tillage farmers struggle to get their field work done. And that's the front of the Irish Farmers Journal. Don't forget, by the way, it's a Thursday, which means on the half five news this evening at around about 20 past five, we'll have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. But that's the way your papers are looking on this Thursday morning.
Daily newspapers are courtesy of Kelly Centra and Diner, Mountaintop Letterkenny, winner of Best Family Dining at the Highland Radio Hospitality Awards.
We're going to go to the bingo numbers in just a moment. Before we do, just want to let you know that there is a bonus Easter egg on our Easter egg hunt today. iMotors have been taking us on a hunt for Easter eggs all over this beautiful county of Donegal, and we'll be giving you clues as to where the iMotors team have travelled to begin with a chance of winning a €500 Ryanair voucher. All you have to do is send us an image of the golden egg or a selfie with the egg to our WhatsApp number 086 60 25000. The person who finds the egg will be entered into the draw at the end of the week, which is tomorrow, obviously, on the Naughty Alarm Clock with Marty Friel. Four lucky people will win a €100 one for all voucher. One will win the €500 Ryanair voucher. Now, earlier this morning, the iMotors team were in Dunfanaghy, and James and Elsie Poots found the egg there. We do have a second egg today because it's Holy Thursday, and the team travelled to Letterkenny in a Kia EV6. They left the golden egg at the Letterkenny park somewhere near the entrance. All you have to do is find the egg and send us an image as quickly as you can. Hurry, because there is only one egg. So it's at the Letterkenny Town Park, the Bernard McGlinchey Town Park, to give it its full name. And the egg is somewhere near the entrance. So if you can find the egg somewhere near the entrance, then you can be the entered into the draw. You will at least get a €100 one for all voucher, and you could win that €500 Ryanair voucher. It's the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. It's Donal Kavanagh with you until 12 midday today. We will have a lot of discussion on the programme. Just to remind you, by the way, those tickets are on sale. You now have 55 minutes to get a ticket in our home improvements draw, and you can pick it up on highlandradio.com, or you can ring the station and buy it over the phone. However, I can tell you the phone lines have gone fairly mad this morning, so if you can do it online, you'd be maybe a little bit better doing it there. And there'll be a call made this morning. There'll be a draw at about draw at half 11, and after the draw then we'll be calling someone and they will be €2,500 richer. There'll be another chance to win €2,500 next Friday of next week, and then the following week, I think it is, the €10,000 home improvement voucher from Foy's will be drawn for. So plenty of opportunities to win there. Okay, I've got some very important guests in studio to whom I want to introduce you, because we're speaking about Donegal Horizons today. It's an important initiative, and we have two trainees with Donegal Horizons in studio with us. We have Max. Max, good morning.
Good morning.
And we have Porrick. Porrick, good morning to you.
Very good morning.
And it's Porrick Dugan and Max Leanans, and we're also joined by Seamus Friel, who is senior key worker with Donegal Horizons. Seamus, good morning.
How are you?
It's a very interesting and important initiative, because educating people to work is really important, and both our trainees are getting on just fine. Max, I'm going to go to you first, because you're working in Abergavenny at the moment.
Yeah,
now, I mean, I have to be honest, it's a place I do know well. You'll tell by the look of me, I am no stranger to to the delights of a place like Abercrombie. And you're enjoying the work.
Yeah.
What does it involve?
Like cooking, helping like customers as well, bringing food to them and helping around.
Yep, so you're doing the cooking yourself as well, which and that's a really important job. And I have to say, I've never had a bad kebab out of that particular premises. So take a bow, because you're obviously doing your job well. Porrick, you're training as well. You were on the National Learning Network. Now you're in Donegal Horizons, and you're really getting into it.
Yes, I am.
Mm. A big sports fan?
Yes, I'm.
And I see you're now signed up for Special Olympic soccer, so are we going to be seeing you competing far and wide in the years to come?
Yes.
Excellent, look forward to that.
Well, I do join it, really, because I get on with more pals on the Special Olympics.
Brilliant. What position do you play on the team?
Mostly striker.
Oh, very good. The one that gets the glory, that's what we want.
yeah, true.
What's your score rate like?
Well, you could say 100.
100
goals.
Okay, hello, sorry, just make a call here. Hello, is that John O'Shea? Listen, I have a guy for you. So will we see you go across the water and sign up for one of the big teams over there?
Probably, yeah. Well, you can say Manchester City or Man United or something.
Oh, Manchester City or Man United. Who'd be your preference?
Probably Erling Haaland.
Oh, so you're a City fan?
Yeah, I'm a City fan, yeah.
Oh, fair enough. But you wouldn't have any problem playing for United, no?
No.
If they give you the money, you'll pay for it. Do you know what? That's exactly the mindset you need to be a professional footballer. I think you're going places. Max, I'm going to go back to yourself. You and Padraig were both involved in a coffee morning recently, which was really important, because you made a fair amount of money.
Yeah.
What did you make?
Like over 4,000. 4,000 euro.
4,000, and that was for Epilepsy Ireland.
Yeah.
And you're a big sports fan as well, yeah?
Yeah.
What sports?
Like Gaelic, football, like...
Anything that's going.
Yeah, if it involves balls and moving, you're on top of it.
Balls running about.
Yeah, are you like me? Are you the sort of sports fan who sits down and watch somebody else do it? Or are you like Porrick and get out and do it yourself?
Do myself as well.
Oh, you do yourself as well. Oh, that's what we want. Now, you're both taking part in classes, and, you know, numeracy and literacy, obviously very important, but, I see you're both involved in music and dance classes as well.
Yeah.
What sort of dancing?
Like, we do like, well, we do like, we do a bit of both. We do music, like karaoke, do sort of country, western, and dancing as well, too.
And so is the dancing the sort of jiving? Sort of stuff, yeah. Excellent. You know, are you going to give us a few bars?
Well, you could mention, well.
Or do we have to be in a bar first before we go?
We have to be in a bar first, yeah.
Do you
pay
to Guinness?
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, Seamus, I'm going to go to yourself because obviously Donegal Horizons is, it's a very important project in the county and it plays a really important role.
Definitely, yeah. We actually have two centres in Donegal. We have one in Carndonagh too. And we have about 22 trainees up there and we have one here in Letterkenny and we have about 28. So it's basically we teach life skills and stuff like that there and just make sure they're out in their community as much as possible. And it's really a good project and we're enjoying it and having a bit of crack on the way.
Yeah.
So Max, what's he like to work with? You can tell us if you want to.
He's talking about
being nice. He's trying to think of something nice to say. So I'm sure he's good crack to work with. Sure. Look at the lovely smiling face. Yeah, you couldn't but love it in fairness, though, lads. Come on.
Well, that's not everyone says that.
No. Is he a bit of a tyrant when no one's looking? Oh, I love it. Porrick, in terms of work experience, obviously, you know, you're going to end up playing for Man United and you'll be a professional footballer and knocking in 100 goals at will, just like Erling Haaland, no problem at all. Yeah. So, you know, we don't have to worry about, you know, ordinary boring jobs. But if you were to do an ordinary boring job, what would the ordinary boring job be?
Well, mostly I just sit about the house playing video games all the time.
Yeah, you're not supposed to be honest, Porrick.
But obviously I go shopping with my mother and father.
Yeah.
To get out of the house.
Well, hey, that is important. It's really important to be doing things like that. Max, you're holding your hands to your face over there. I mean, is there a place in Abercrombie you could drag him in and get him to do some proper work?
Is there no room for him?
Max, oh, hang on, I'm onto a good thing here. Don't complicate things, please. Seamus, I mean, the work experience, ensuring that all the trainees are you know where they need to be and where it's best for them to be. It's an important part of the job, I'm sure.
Massively, you know, and it's like Max. One of his main goals is he wants to be a chef at some stage, and working in Abercrombie is great for him, and he loves it over there, and Jason, the manager in Abercrombie, is absolutely brilliant. As is all of our placement providers. You know, we've one's down Fannett, or Patricia down Fannett Care of the Age as one of our trainees, and then Veritas as trainees. We have loads of placements out there, but obviously we're always looking for more. So if anyone wants to take on one of our trainees.
And both, and both Porrick and Max, both of you are going to go on a training session with the FAI with Finn Harps.
Yes.
It's going to be interesting. Tell us about that.
Well, we done it on Tuesday, and we absolutely liked it because, like, we were training mostly skills and how to
pass
the ball and get on to train other people, I was like, including the ones in Carndonagh and the ones in Siobhan.
Yeah. So you've done the training now with the FAI, and then the inclusion camp then with Harps comes up. That's a bit later in the year, is it?
Yes, that's a bit later in the year,
It starts on the 11th.
Oh, the 11th, is, let me see if I can get this right, that is this day fortnight.
This day fortnight.
Kavanagh got something right, lads.
And it's... The programme is going to be delivered by myself and Stephen McNutt, who is the Social Responsibility Officer with Finn Harps.
Yeah.
Finn Harps have been brilliant. We were actually up at a game. They invited us up to a game.
Yeah.
And I took Podrick and Max and
a few other trainees,
Sean and Ellen, up too. And they absolutely loved it. And they got pictures with some of the players and the manager and couldn't have treated us any better.
And I'm sure the lads were standing in the stand waving the scarves and being nice and quiet.
Yeah. There's a lot of noise. Unfortunately, they got beat that day.
Well, they got that beat that day. Yeah. So
they're playing cold, but hopefully we'll get up to another game.
You just have to go back to a game after they win. But you mean, in fairness, Porrick, you might play for Harps for a bit, Porrick, before you go across the water. Just
well, you could say that. I was just saying to Jamie, do you think I'll get a squad like Finn Harps? And probably you'll never know. I might get into Finn Harps.
Well, but if you're scoring 100 games a year, get
them promoted.
Perhaps the 100 goals might have been a slight exaggeration. Maybe just a little bit of an exaggeration.
Probably just a little bit.
Yeah. So that's taking place in. It's an important one, Max. You're obviously looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Do you play much football yourself?
Yeah.
Do you play with the team or just about at home and with your pals?
No, I sort of like with the team as well.
Mm-hmm. Which team?
Special Olympics.
Sorry!
Special Olympics as well.
Idiot. So two members of the Special Olympics soccer team. I mean, obviously, you're going to be playing locally, but I mean, you know, it's an important business, Special Olympics, mm-hmm. and there's mm-hmm. going to be, we saw here, now, you're way too young to remember all this, as he's probably way too young to remember this, in fairness. I mean, I'm sadly not too young to remember it. But when the International Olympics were in Croke Park, I mean, it was a huge Special Olympics buzz right around the country. And I remember people like Sean Bradley were winning medals down there at that point. Now, let's just say Sean has a 4 in his name, in his age now, so we won't go there. But, you know, it's a huge thing, and you could find yourselves travelling the world if you can make it onto the Irish team. And obviously, Porrick's a shoo-in. Would you have ambitions there, Max? Get onto the national team?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Why not? You really should. I'm really enjoying the chat, lads. In terms of where it goes from here, Max, you want to do your work in Abracadabra, but you want to be a chef yourself.
Yeah, a chef.
I mean, are you talking about going beyond the burgers and kebabs and going into a kitchen and doing, you know, meals across the board?
Yeah.
What would be your favourite sort of food to be looking toward?
Pizza, maybe, or... He's good at it. He's a very good cook now.
Oh, I've no doubt. I've noticed.
He helps out in the centre there. We do a lot of cooking in the centre. And
excellent.
Helps out with the breakfast and lunches and stuff like that there.
And you get to do more than peel the spuds, yeah? No, here's what you do. You do the cooking, get Porrick to peel the spuds. Because he's used to helping around at home anyway, so he'll feel the spuds, no problem at all. Well, do you know what? I'm really looking forward. I have no doubt at some point in the not-too-distant future, I'm going to find myself in a restaurant and find that the grub that comes out has been cooked by you, Max. And I'll be sitting back watching TV, and there'll be Porrick on the goal scorer, on the screen, scoring whatever, 6-7 goals a game, like, you know. And all the City fans will be going, Ireland who? But it's I've really enjoyed the chat.
Yeah.
Thanks for having
me. Is there anything else you want to say before you go, Porrick?
Well, I was trying to look for work experience, but I'm just probably planning to go somewhere as usual. So hopefully, fingers crossed.
Ah, well, I'm sure they'll look after you. Max, yourself? Just keep on cooking and keep on working for them. Well, keep up the good work. It's great. I look forward to seeing your meteoric rise in the Special Olympics team. Seamus, thanks indeed yourself for coming in as well. I mean, it's really good to know that there's initiatives like Donegal Horizons out there that's doing this work, because it is really important work, as we said.
Definitely, and especially for this inclusion camp, you know, I don't think there's enough for adults with IDs out there, so hopefully we can change that there. And like, so the Letterkenny Community Centre, who's been Liam down there, has been very good to us and helping us out with this here too, and hopefully we get big numbers and we can hopefully make it a bigger and better thing in the future.
Yeah, we've just had a message in from Lorraine McDade. Well done, lads, for promoting Donegal Horizons. Great facility, especially for the people in Inishowen. Can't praise it enough. The lads, they're going, Inishowen, I've heard of that place.
Yeah.
That's way up north somewhere. if you're a contribution financier, it's up north toward Alaska. Yeah. That's where Inishowen is.
Well, I just want to say one last thing. So,
go for it, Corey.
I'm just shouting to the staff in Letterkenny, if they're tuning in, I'm just saying, hello to them all. So, thanks for tuning in to Highland Radio.
You know what? You'll be taking my job next morning. He wants Aaron Hannan's job. He wants my job. Seamus, Max, Porrick, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks, all of you, for speaking to us today.
Thanks so much.
It's been great. Bye now. This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. Now, we're going to talk about the deposit return scheme, because you may recall it came up for a discussion on the programme yesterday, a couple of comments in on it, and a few more comments came in after we closed the lines yesterday, just to give you a few of those. Someone asking, how long will it be before someone can print a QR code from a return bottle or can and attach it to an unrefundable, redeemable can or bottle? I think these return machines will go the way of the e-voting machines. I'm not going to collect a house full of bottles for a month or two just to get a few pence back. Caller says, I work in a major retailer. I have 10 bottles to recycle. One deposit returns machine in the premises isn't working. The other is full. I have to wait another week now to recycle. That's they're not working there. They're just visiting there. I do apologise. There's two loads of bottles, and it's also adding about 8 weeks to my bill. Another caller says, we had Toy Story the musical. Now we have Waste Disposal the musical. Trust me, this will be scrapped in 9 months' time. No one is talking about the property each shop is renting to the government for these machines. Plus, no one is talking about the fact that all these recycle machines were imported. This government is a complete joke. Now, I am joined on Zoom by Vincent Jennings. And Vincent Jennings is a representative of the Convenience Stores and Newsagents Association. And Vincent, you're a bit more confident about the deposit return scheme than perhaps some of our listeners.
Good morning. Well, I mean, I'm not discounting what your reader, what your listeners have experienced. And yes, there have been certainly glitches and there have been upsets, but to suggest that it is going to go the way of the e-voting machines or that it will be scrapped, that won't happen. We have an absolute need as a society to recycle plastics and cans in a fashion that is sustainable. And we were doing it quite well, but it was only 3/4 of the entirety. So you were talking about over 600 million units per year that were ending up in hedgerows and landfill and God knows where. And this scheme, which is used in 40 other jurisdictions around the world, so it's not unique. This scheme was designed in such a fashion to ensure that you would, after a period of time, have, if we emulate Germany and Scandinavian countries and other countries, we will have in excess of 95% of capture. And it's because you are setting the deposit at a level that is worthwhile to people to bring it back, or worthwhile for somebody to bring it back. If not people themselves, then through charities or through youngsters. We'll see the young entrepreneurs starting all over again, collecting and cleaning. And won't that make it great that they won't be in the hedgerows? It won't be in the dumps.
Well, I have to be honest, I did it myself when I was a young lad, because when I was growing up, you had a 2 pence deposit on, yeah. There was no such thing really as cans, to be honest, because I'm old. And it was bottles. And you'll recall these days where you bought a bottle of orange or whatever in the shop. The shop had a little bottle opener attached to the counter. They opened the bottle. They gave it to you. You drank the bottle. You brought the bottle back and you got your two pence back. Yeah. And yeah. I, on more than one occasion, did go around. You'd find a bottle in the hay. And if you managed to find 3 or 4 bottles while I was walking, but that was, you went to the shop, you got 6 pence and you bought a couple of penny toffees or whatever. It's a good point. It's a different situation now, because then it was quite simple. You went to the shop, you bought a bottle, you were given your bottle, you drank your drink, you gave the bottle back, you got your 2 pence. It was very straightforward and very fluid. Now we're talking machines, we're talking barcodes, we're talking a situation where, you know, people can find themselves in a situation. For instance, a lot of our callers yesterday were saying that they bought a can or they bought a bottle, they were charged the tax, but then found there wasn't a return logo on it. And when they tried to put it through a machine, they were being told this isn't eligible. And that apparently has happened on a few occasions and in a few places.
Yeah, and look, I mean, any person who has found themselves, and I've heard of that as well, any person who has been charged a deposit and they know absolutely that they will most certainly receive their deposit back. You go, you shouldn't have to kick up a fuss or anything like that, but you go to the customer service place of the shop that has the returns, the return in place. And you make them aware. Look, I mean, I paid a deposit whenever it was. Now, sometimes you may well buy two or three different items and you would have been charged a deposit on one of them or two of them, but not all of them at the moment. Although all of the stock coming through since the 15th now will have, deposits levied into the retailer. So they will be retailing, but there's still stock in place. By the end of May, there will be no more stock. Well, even if there is stock in place, we can't sell it because by law, we will have to ensure that the only products that are being sold from the 1st of June have the return logo. And that'll be for all time. And we are talking about something that's going to be there in 2025, 26, 29 and onwards. This is, of course, there are glitches in the transitional period, but they're not fatal to the scheme. The scheme is well considered and we will have extra jobs that will come from a recycling centre that base itself upon the product that we have reclaimed within the island of Ireland. That would be great for Ireland.
In terms of the machines themselves and their maintenance, are you confident that there will be long-term maintenance of the machines? We're already hearing of issues where, the two major retailers, both Tesco and Dunnes, we've heard of issues with the machines there. Now, cards on the table. I've used the machines in Tesco and Letterkenny on about three occasions. I haven't had any issues. For others, that's not their experience. Others have said they arrived and they found both machines weren't working properly and they couldn't put their cans through. So, are we going to see proper maintenance of the machines? Are we going to see regular maintenance? And are you confident that it will be a matter that we will see that continue? Or are we going to get to a point where the system may become, for want of a better word, dilapidated and tired after a while, and eventually machines will just start to wind down and not work properly?
Well, don't forget, you're talking about two people. They wouldn't be members of ours, but Tesco and Dunnes would be very, very hard taskmasters. They didn't make the machines, but they bought the machines. Some of them have spent in excess of €100,000. That's an investment to them. They will absolutely crack the whip and they will be absolutely assured that they will get either a replacement or they will sit on guys, over bank holiday weekends and be like, they are hard taskmasters and you can be absolutely sure that if they're paying for something, they want the value for themselves and for their customers. It's an embarrassment to them when it's down, that's for sure.
Yeah. For the majority of your members, of course, it's going to be over the counter. And are all retailers offering an over the counter service or how is it working?
Well, that's an interesting one insofar as that was the original plan that there would be an over the counter. But we embraced the idea of the machines. There was only supposed to be 700 for the entire country. And then convenience sector ran in and said, no. We actually want to be part of this as well. So there are now 2,200. So in other words, there's 1,500 extra machines throughout the country. And that is primarily our members have actually stood up to the mark. And whether they're Centras or Spars or Londis or Gala or whatever, they have stood up to the mark and they've gone out of their own pocket. They've bought these machines because they do not want to give business over to or be considered that somehow or other the only place where you can return stuff is an Aldi or a Lidl or a Tesco or the like. You know, we're equal to them. And the biggest difficulty about this scheme is the fact that it's not north and south. It should have been north and south. But unfortunately, politics got in the way and the northern representatives refused to have something to do with an all-Ireland scheme.
And is that potentially an issue for your members here? Because, and let's, again, cards on the table, one or two of our callers did say, I'm going to head across the border. I mean, where I'm sitting at the moment, I'm 25 minutes from an Asda, I'm 30 minutes from a Sainsbury's, and numerous other shops where I can buy cans, I can buy bottles, and don't have to worry about deposits at all.
There's an anti-fraud measure insofar as that they all now have different barcodes. So north of the border, south of the border, different barcodes, won't accept it, has spent a lot of money, extra money in doing this. Didn't have to be done if the North had done it, but you know, there have to be anti-fraud measures. Somebody spoke about printing off a QR code and the like. Look, there will always be people, no matter where, there will always be people who try to game a system and like, That's the same as shoplifting. And they
but I'm not talking about gaming the system. I'm talking about instead of giving their custom to their local shop, people will go across the border, buy their drinks there, and then chuck them in the recycling bin.
And that's it's perfectly acceptable that they make their purchase wherever they like. Yeah. But they obviously, if they haven't paid for a paid a deposit, they can't redeem. No, one of your listeners had spoken about printing off a QR
code. Oh, the QR, yeah.
What I'm saying is that that has all been taken care of.
Yeah.
And if they do attempt, that's an attempted fraudulent conversion, and they will be prosecuted.
Yeah, caller says, I have a designated reusable shopping bag for my bottles and cans. I bring it on my weekly shop to get the deposit back. I've never been so good at remembering my shopping bags. It's an interesting point, actually, because, I mean, you know, I mean, could you imagine someone going into the shop with a couple of cans, putting the cans in, getting their thing from the machine, and then actually forgetting to redeem it, which is exactly what I did last week. So I have a token in my wallet right now, actually.
It never loses its value.
Oh, yeah.
It's there for all times. Yeah. As long as it can be read, it will be honoured.
Yeah. Vincent Jennings, you are confident, as you've said, then you believe there have inevitably been some teething problems. I know figures came out last week which suggested that the uptake wasn't as strong as it was initially hoped it would be. Now, it's always, I suppose, there's going to be a fanfare. And maybe people didn't quite understand the scheme as well as they thought they did. I know certainly there was a discussion at Donegal County Council level just days before it came into effect. And the concern was that maybe people knew there was a scheme but weren't so clued in as to how it was actually operating. In terms of if we want to find out where there are machines in our locality, what's the best way to do it? Is there a central website we can find all that out, or can we just assume there's one in our local centre or our local spar?
Well, I think that you can certainly assume that there's one in your local centre. But there is a map. There is an interactive map. You just key in what your own postcode is, and it will show you in proximity to where you are those ones. And as I say, there are 2,200 around the country, so you're never too far from one. Though it is obviously a matter that we would prefer if there was a facility in every outlet. Mm-hmm. Handing it over without a machine is a real difficulty, logistical difficulty, and it is a difficulty for our staff in being able to identify potentially fraudulent ones,
yeah,
and also handling product that's been in somebody's mouth. That's not what you want. So we've applied for and received exemptions in those instances.
Vincent Jennings of the Convenience Stores and News Agents Association, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this morning.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. That's Vincent there. We'll take a short break back after this. Just remind you that we will, in about 40 minutes' time, at around about 11:30, be calling one lucky person after a draw is made. Katie's just been inside putting all the numbers in the draw drum. So we'll be drawing a number along with Sean at about 11:30. Then that person shall be called and we'll hopefully take them on air and break the good news that they've won €2,500. It's all part of the €10,000 home makeover plus extra 5,000 cash giveaway. The draw is, you can go onto highlandradio.com or you can call us on 07491 25,000 to purchase your ticket. We'll be calling, as I said, someone today. On Friday of next week, Greg will be calling someone with the same purpose of giving them €2,500. And then the following week, it'll be the draw for the €10,000 home makeover. And of course, the winners today and next Friday will go back into the drum. So you could theoretically win all three. Statistically, that's probably not likely to happen, but it could. It's absolutely possible that it could happen. Now, I just want to give you some of our comments. So we spoke on the Friday panel earlier about the question of voting ages. And the caller says, I'll be 16 next month. I have an interest in politics. I'll vote when I'm of age. I don't think the voting age should be lowered. Young brains are so easily manipulated. That's according to one of our correspondents. Let's look at some other of your calls. They should do a deposit return scheme for wine bottles and beer cans because the roads are a mess with them. They're all on the roadside. It's not working. Well, beer cans are included. I know certainly your standard 500 or 330 milliliter beer can is included in the return scheme. So if you see them on the road, you can always, as I used to do when I was a kid, pick them up, give them a quick clean and bring them in and you can redeem the cash on them. Tronerossen Car Park in Downings is very dangerous, says a caller. Since the 21st of January, the fence has been broken. At the fence, there is a big drop and it's dangerous. People need to be aware of that drop, especially younger kids, when people are going there for their Easter holidays. We were discussing Simon Harris and his imminent going to be Taoiseach later on in April, and he is... I want to go back to that comment, because I'm just told, actually, we referenced Michael earlier on, and we can actually talk to Michael, because Michael's on line one. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Donal.
How are you doing? You're interested in politics yourself, but you don't necessarily believe you should be voting at 16.
No, I don't think most 16-year-olds are mature enough by voting. Most 16-year-olds are still in full-time education and are still living with their parents.
Yeah, because I made this point earlier. Okay, I was hugely interested in politics when I was 16, and yeah, I mean, I was rebelling against my parents a bit. I was rebelling against society a bit, and I was wearing badges on my jackets going to school, and the badges said things like "Reject Reagan's foreign policy." Reagan was the U.S. president when I was in secondary school. That's how long back we're talking. But you know. By the same token, I sometimes think, are we doing people like yourself a disservice? I mean, it isn't as though you're immature at 16 and then suddenly at 18 develop a socially conscious brain. I mean, there's a lot of people in their 20s are a lot less socially conscious and a lot less mature than some 15, 16-year-olds I know.
Oh, I know what you're saying there, but I do see a difference in maturity of a 16-year-old compared to an 18-year-old.
Okay, can I then turn it around a bit? Should there be, say, we have things like here, we have the Donegal Youth Council, and we have other initiatives, there's Dáil na n-Óg as well, of course. Should we have something in place whereby the county council or the Dáil nationally should be paying more attention to the youth councils and paying more attention to Dáil na n-Óg, and perhaps have some sort of a way that the youth councils and the youth parliaments can get their views on a more streamlined way into the councils and into the Dáil? Because, I mean, okay... 16-year-olds and under, you know, they mightn't be fully mature politically and socially, but they still have something to say.
I can see value in that, yet.
Michael, thanks a million for speaking to us. It's an interesting point. I certainly, as I said, I know there's probably a lot of 16-year-olds that would be very interested, and we certainly have had some of them on the panel here, and there's someone put me to shame with their maturity and their knowledge and so on, to be honest with you. But listen, thanks very much indeed for speaking to us this morning, and all the best with it. And,
thank you.
All the best. That's Michael there. It's the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. It's 2:30 to 11. Just to remind you, after 11, we're going to be previewing and looking at some of the finalists in our Community Hero initiative that Highland Radio has been working on for some time. Sean, it's going to be a very busy hour for Sean, actually. He's going to be in with us on the Community Hero slot, and then he'll be in as well with the draw. But before we do anything else, we'll just take this short break.